Today on Real Life Radio.
But I've got to guard my heart against the news of this world, because if I don't, I'll get a calloused or hardened heart. When I hear about this group doing this to the other people or that to the other thing, my initial emotional response is, let them all fry. Now that's not Christian. That's not biblical. That's not Jesus.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Friends and Foes in the Fellowship, Part 2, begins in the book of Philippians chapter 2 with verses 19 through 30. It's at this time when Paul sends Timothy and Epaphroditus to the Philippian church to receive news about them. The most valuable things in life cannot be bought. When we begin to slow down and look at our lives, we start to realize what's really important, and that includes friends. Timothy and Epaphroditus were Paul's friends and bondservants through thick and thin. They were not only trustworthy, they were also followers of Jesus Christ. They even disregarded their own well-being in order to minister to Paul in his time of need. Today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that it's the servant leader who will give up their lives to supply what is lacking in the church. For their acts of selflessness and compassion have an eternal perspective. And you know, the true gospel of Christ is worthy of our total being and sacrifice. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Verse 27, for indeed he was sick almost to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Oh, great. Now, Paul would say, great. If Epaphroditus died on me, and the church at Philippi, they're going to be devastated, and I can't take that pain. Do you hear the tenderness of this? People living in a harsh, ugly Roman world like that, notice how tender their hearts were. Look, let's be honest. The age in which you and I live in, I tell you what my greatest challenge is. Maybe it's not yours. But I've got to guard my heart against the news of this world, because if I don't, I'll get a calloused or hardened heart. When I hear about this group doing this to the other people or that to the other thing, my initial emotional response is, let them all fry. Now, that's not Christian. That's not biblical. That's not Jesus. You want to, Lord, just say the word and I'll call down fire from heaven. Remember the apostle, the disciple said that? And Jesus says, calm down. You don't know what spirit you are of. No, my thing is I have to guard my heart from getting hardened against this wicked world. And chances are you may be the same way. We've got to be careful. In the Roman world, note how tender the early church was in the midst of an ugly world. This is a goal for me. And so he says that he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him only, but also on me. And the truth of the matter is this. This is kind of weird because it seems kind of self-serving when I read it, but maybe I'm being arrogant about this. Hebrews 13:7. When it comes to servant leaders, we'll be leading you through what we might say. Well, in Hebrews 13, verse 7, the Bible says, remember, the word is think about, talk about those who rule over you. Nobody wants to be ruled over. But the Bible says, remember those who rule over you. Question, is there someone who rules over you? Well, I answer that question by asking a question. Do you want someone to rule over you? Well, now I've got to ask this other question. What does the word rule mean? Listen, I did a wedding last night. They both love each other. They've written love notes to each other since their early teens. They've only known each other. They've never known anyone else. And yesterday was their wedding day. Is this a storybook relationship? And it's so sweet because we've watched it. It was a relative of ours that got married. And you've watched their lives together, this couple. And you never have to talk about submission and obedience. Now, you ought to love her. It was seen. It was obvious. It was public. It was there in the open. And when they stand there and they make these vows to each other, they're both teary-eyed and their lips are shaking and they're so excited and they're smiling. And it was just all about love. And that's the way it ought to be. So when the Bible says that you are to remember those who rule over you, it's like, oh, not me. No one's going to rule over me. That's because you've only known abuse. I got news for you. I thank God I've only known one pastor in my life, and he loved me. He spoiled me. I'm standing here right now because he spoiled me. Chuck Smith spoiled me, loved me. I don't know why. I didn't ask him why. Never asked him why. But he always like favored me. He did things for us, opened up opportunity. He's the one that said, listen, I want you on the radio. We would never have been on the radio if it wasn't for him. I tried to give this church away when I was an engineer at Baxter. I tried to give it away as the Home Bible Study was growing. And Chuck says, nope. And what did I do? I remembered him who ruled over me. And listen, I didn't like what he was saying, but I knew he loved me. Are you with me? And if you really know church love and leadership love, because it's a servant leadership ministry, then listen, even in those ugly things that are in the battle time stuff going on, you'll know, I need to remember those who rule over me. Why? Because they really do care. They really do love. And they are very conscious of the fact that they will someday answer before God. If you go to a church where that's not existing, get out of that church. I don't know what it's like to be in a church where that exists. I only know how it is to be in a church where it does exist. And Chuck Smith was my example. And I got to tell you, these notes, they may not turn you on, but they turn me on. Because I think of him. I see his big, happy, smiley face in my head. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. They'll be judged someday, so they're aware of it. So you might want to pay attention to them. Second, Hebrews 13, 17. Obey those who rule over you. Be submissive. Why should I? For they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy, not with grief. What does that mean? Don't be a high maintenance sheep. Don't be a troublemaker lamb. You know, every church has got troublemaking sheep. That's just the way the herds are. The flocks are that way. That's why some sheep, look, remember, we love the picture of Jesus carrying the lamb on his shoulders. Don't we love that one? Do you have that in your little Sunday school class? It's so sweet. You don't know the details to that picture. The reason why the shepherd carries only, you see, why would a shepherd carry a lamb? He's got 99 other sheep. How's he carry them all? Does he trade them off? No. The little high maintenance, rotten, rebellious stinker lamb, it's a stinker lamb, is the one that is in the family, but it's always causing troubles. Do you know what the shepherd does? The shepherd takes that lamb over to the side, takes out two big stones and sets them a little bit apart from each other. And then he grabs another stone and he stretches out the back leg of that lamb over those two stones. And he takes the rock in his hand and he breaks the leg right in half. And then he doesn't set it. He lets it set on its own. So it's crippled. Why? Number one, so the little stinker stops running so fast to cause trouble. Number two, the little stinker knows that cost me. Number three, for 2 weeks, he's got to live on the back of the shoulder of the shepherd. He smells the shepherd. Listen, the little stinker, because of his disobedience, gets disciplined by the shepherd who loves him. But in grace, the shepherd allows that sheep in its healing process to be closer to the shepherd than all the rest of them. That when you come out of your knuckleheadedness as a Christian and you wake up, Jesus told Peter, when you return, strengthen your brethren. That's exactly what God does to us. And true Christian ministry should be doing that in your life. Break my leg if necessary. Because we love you. You go around cause trouble, making problems for people. You're going to get busted. But if it's not done in love, then it's wrong. We are to speak the truth in love. Hebrews 13, 18. Pray for us. Pray. So remember, obey, pray. Pray for us, says the writer of Hebrews, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. And then Hebrews 13, 24. Greet. I like the new translation. It says, greet all those who rule over you. I think the old King James is kiss them. Let's stick with greet. greet all those who rule over you, and all the saints from Italy greet you. What a beautiful thing. Servant leaders will be leading you through whatever is needed in the life of a church. Through terrorism, through disease, through earthquake, through false doctrines, through dangerous times. Lead us through the teaching of the Word of God. Lead us through example. Listen, I mean this seriously. Be in a church where the Word of God is going out and the believers around you, from the leadership to those attending, exhibit Christ. And then finally this, verses 29 to 30, servant leaders will be giving up their lives. So how can that be? Well, it just all depends, ladies and gentlemen. Giving up your life is something that I don't want to say routine to humanity, but giving up your life is not a rare thing. You can give your life up for anything that you deem valuable. Anything. What makes this different? He says, receive him therefore in the Lord like Jesus. Receive him like you would Jesus, with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. In fact, so Paul's saying, the guy almost died since he got here in Rome. He got sick. He almost died. And remember, church, he came to help me, and it almost killed him. He took his lives into his hand just showing up to meet me, because I am a marked man, Paul is saying. And that wasn't enough. He got sick. And every scholar I read on this said that he was sick for at least 3 months. So whatever he had, it was a bad deal, based upon the timing of the letter of Philippians. What's interesting to me is this, you guys, and we'll end with this closing out here. In John 15:11, Jesus says, these things I've written unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you have love one toward another, as I have loved you. Greater love is no man than this, than a man lays down his life for his friends. The extent of John chapter 15, the context of it is Jesus Christ is speaking of himself as our example. Jesus laid down his life for what? For politics? No. Jesus laid down his life for taxes? No. Jesus laid down his life for better roads? No, Jesus laid down his life for his friends. And then Jesus turns around to us and says, you should do the same. Listen, let me make this very clear. You will die. But for what? I am a historical junkie. I love reading about it. And I love remarkable records of heroism. Civil War, Revolutionary War, modern day wars. When men and women think nothing of giving their life that others around them might live. They never pause. We have, there are events in war of recent years where men will throw themselves onto a grenade to protect the rest of their platoon. Why? How is this done? It is absolutely a response that is not, no one stops and says, golly, wait a minute, hang on a minute, freeze frame. Should I throw myself on that grenade? No one thinks about it. You know why? It doesn't have to be thought about. You want to know why? It's because they have a relationship. It's developed in the battle. Each of them in the military are servant leaders. They're all leaders. But they lead by serving. Ministry is the same way. That's why Paul uses the same verbiage. It's the same. And Christians were the same. We lead by servant leading. That when something happens, we throw ourselves on the grenade. We don't say, oh, I'm going to pay the ultimate price. Get your camera ready. I don't want this to go to waste. No, you don't. If nobody's, it's a response. I want to say it's second nature. It's really first nature of the Spirit. It's what God does in and through us. And so Epaphroditus is willing to lay down his life. Why? So that others eventually, obviously, might hear the gospel, because Paul was a man that they understood preaches the gospel. and that if he could help him, the furtherance of the gospel. Listen, I want you to close your Bibles. We're done. I'll just simply paraphrase these things. Time is up. When I think of Paul and Epaphroditus, let's think of ourselves here for a moment regarding the giving up of our lives. Together, the gospel goes forward. And Paul told the church at Corinth, some of us sow seeds, some of us water, and some harvest. Think of that. As Christians, some of us are seed throwers. We throw the word out, okay? Some water. And you might, you know, you might try to figure this out in your own life, which are you? I've tried to figure that out in my life. I'm not sure exactly which one I am. The thing is, I've kind of given up, and I don't even need to know which one I am. I'm supposed to be involved. I'm supposed to be in the fight. I'll let God figure that part out. Just make yourself available. So you may be a seed thrower, you may be a waterer, you may be a harvester. You know, were you crusade type, Greg Laurie harvesters, right? You know, they come forward, Billy Graham. I don't know. Frankly, I don't care. The truth of the matter is we are to be in this together. Servant leaders will be willing to give up their lives. It's just first nature because of this. It's to bring others to faith in Jesus because the eternal perspective, it's starting at one point of life. Where was your starting point? And it's coming to meet in the darkness, as it were, under the English Channel. You meet up. Because both are working from the same direction. As a church, we're all different people, but we've come from different directions to meet at the same point. And what is that point? To further the cause of Christ. That's what I'm willing to die for. That's what you're willing to die for. Yes, there are great pictures and examples to die for freedom, to die for liberty, to die for your nation. Yes, that's normal. It's costly, but normal. But what amazing life we've been invited to live for Christ, to die for Christ, so that we can live for Christ. This is great news. And so I want to end with this here. Listen, don't respond too quick. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ or are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Before you come to your answer, listen, James 2:18 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. Listen, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Listen, are you a believer in Jesus? If you are educated in first grade, I would think you're a believer in Jesus. You know, to believe in Jesus means that he existed. Jesus actually existed. He was a real person, but who was he? You see? You all believe George Washington existed. But listen, do you have faith in George Washington? I don't have faith in George Washington. I believe he existed because there's evidence, overwhelming evidence, but I don't have faith in him. I'm an American with or without George Washington. Are you with me? I don't need him. I have a passport. I have proof. So I can believe in Jesus and not have faith in him. So listen, are you a believer or are you a follower? If you're a follower, you're like Epaphroditus. If you're a follower, your heart is saying things this morning to your brain, let's get in the battle. So where are you in this? Right now, right where you're at, let's bow our heads because I don't want to go one day further without you having the opportunity to make this decision. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please. Even if you're not a Christian, just out of respect, you can be respectful. If you just bow your head. This is a private moment, though it's a public setting. If right now in your mind and in your heart, you are thinking, wait a minute, what am I? Am I a believer in Jesus? Can I simply and only say that he was a historical figure? He actually lived in ancient Israel. He lived in the Galilee and in Jerusalem. You might go so far to even say, yeah, I believe he died on the cross. A lot of people died on the cross. Jesus was one of them. Maybe you're saying that. Maybe you're even a little bit of a religious spin on that, that, you know, you pray sometimes and you ask Jesus for help. Listen, I want to tell you right now, you're only a believer. Satan believes, and he's going to hell. The demons believe, and they tremble. You can believe in the authenticity of Jesus historically, and it's not enough. Do you follow him? Do you want to follow him? Is he Lord Christ, God in flesh, your one and only Savior? Have you ever publicly acknowledged that? Because Jesus said, if you do not acknowledge me publicly, I cannot acknowledge you before my Father, which is in heaven. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're saying today, Pastor Jack, I want to publicly lift my hand in declaration, and in so doing, I'm saying Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm accepting him today. I'm following him today. I'm going to pursue him today. If that's you and God is speaking, if your heart is being challenged right now, raise your hand high as I look across this place. God bless you in the aisle. You up front, in the very back to my left, over to the left here. God bless you. Anyone else? Up front to my left, several hands to my left. Anyone else? God bless you. Several hands in the back to my right. Far to the right over here. In the very back. Anyone else? You can put your hands down. If anyone else, your heart is stirred right now. You're hearing in your head, I should do this, and you're not. Isn't that amazing? That's awesome. You know you should be doing this, but you're not doing it, and you're just saying, I got to give in to God now. I got to do this. He's Lord and Savior, and I'm going to publicly raise my hand and acknowledge that. Anyone else? Yeah, on the aisle. God bless you. Anyone else? That's awesome. In the very back to my right as well. Okay, I want all of us to stand together. Those of you who are accepting Christ and the rest of us, let's stand and let's pray. Father, we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, these who have raised their hands, thank you, Lord, that, Father, that today there would be that transformation, the flesh giving out the eternal truth, being received by the flesh, processed in the soul, and new spiritual creatures being born again right here, right now in this place. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you'd come upon them by your Holy Spirit. And Lord God, that they would walk with you, that they would get a Bible, that they would find out what's their next step. How do they pray? Where should they begin reading in the Bible? What does it mean to be a child of the living God? Lord, scoop these up. We pray for them now. And we also pray against the powers of darkness that will seek to take the word out of their heart before they even leave this property. We ask you to galvanize them against the darkness and against the lies of the enemy that they might enjoy you. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Friends and Foes in the Fellowship, Part 2. Thanks for listening. There is no greater love than what Jesus did when he laid down his life for us, his friends. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, Pastor Jack here, and I want to encourage all of you to go on a journey with us. We do it every year, and that's going through the one-year Bible together. Here's the reason why. It literally, spiritually, knits us together like no other. Going through the one-year Bible will cause us to be a family in the Word of God and be knit together by the power of God's Word. And know this, that when you read one chapter of a Bible verse for the day, there's tens of thousands of people reading right along with you all around the world.
So you can pick up your copy of the one-year Bible at jackhibbs.com. It's our December book of the month, and you can get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.